50. Vic Prado's nose had since stopped bleeding, though it was already swollen and bruised. The right side of Jesse's face wasn't as bad, but he'd have some explaining to do for a few days to come. They were both working on their second ice bags and second glasses of scotch as they settled into the Adirondack chairs on Jesse's deck. It was a comfortable night, early enough in spring so that insects weren't an issue, late enough in the season so that jackets weren't required. "Nice out here," Vic said, just to say something. "I like it." A few minutes of uneasy silence followed. Uneasy for Vic, not for Jesse. Jesse was good with silence. There were many months, especially after his marriage had fallen apart and his LAPD career was going down the tubes, when silence had been his only friend. He thought back to that long drive from L.A. to Paradise, when the only words he'd spoken were to gas station attendants and truck stop waitresses. "I guess I knew she was going to leave me someday," Vic said. "But you never think the day it happens is that someday." "Sounds about right. She's been so unhappy for so long. Maybe if we had had some kids, who knows? But neither one of us was unselfish enough for kids." Jesse said, "Probably better you didn't have any. My job, I deal with the kids people had for the wrong reasons or for no reasons at all. Those kids grow up, sometimes into very bad people." "You were right before. I deserved it. I've never been able to keep it in my pants. I had women in every major league city, different ones on every road trip. I wouldn't know about that. I never got the chance to find out." "What, I'm supposed to feel sorry for you? I'm the one whose wife just left him." Jesse kept quiet for several more minutes after that. "All right, Jesse. Okay, you're right. You got hurt. I got Kayla. I got to go to the show. But it's not like you've had a bad life. I mean, did you see those other guys we played with? Losers, cons, and holy rollers. You got a good gig here. It isn't Dodger Stadium." Vic downed his drink and reached for the bottle on the deck between their chairs. He thought about pouring himself another, but didn't, not immediately. "I saw that Ozzie Smith poster you got inside there. What the fuck is that all about? You were good, Jesse. Maybe the most talented shortstop I ever played with. You definitely had the best arm, but the bigs ain't like you think." "Same answer as before, Vic. I wouldn't know." Now Vic was agitated. He turned in his chair to face Jesse. "But I do know," he said, pounding his chest. "I know. You're in the minors, you just think getting to the bigs is the end, the goal. Nah, it's the beginning. Every day, all you're thinking about is how you got to do something, anything, to stay there. You never want to get back on those damn buses or stay in another cheap motel room or rented apartment in some guy's basement. It eats at you, the nerves, the insecurity. You don't know how hard that is, and it never goes away, never. Every slump you go in, every error you make, it all feels like it's going to disappear. I would have liked to have found out."
"Yeah, I can understand that. But that poster in there, that's nuts. What do? Drink with the Wizard of Oz and tell him how good you would have been?"
"Sometimes." "Getting hurt was a gift. How do you figure that?" Jesse said. "Because you could drink with Oz and tell him how great everything would have been, and how you would have been the greatest shortstop ever. But you never really had to test that out, did you? You never had to get in the box against Maddox or Randy Johnson. You never had to play short on the crappy infield at County Stadium in Milwaukee in April with frozen hands. Getting hurt saved you from having to prove yourself every day. This way, Jesse, you'll always be the golden boy. You're like James Dean."
"How do you mean?"
"Your career died young and pretty. Your baseball career will always be full of promise and potential. Your skills will never diminish. You'll always bat 1,000 and never make an error. I saw the glove on your desk. You're still living the dream."
"Have another drink, Vic. I like it when you talk crazy. All those women, all those guaranteed contracts, all the adulation, all those all-star games. Man, must have been rough on you. Fuck you, Stoney."
Jesse poured himself another Black Label. He drank it all in a single gulp.
"Did you do it on purpose?"
"Do what on purpose?" In Pueblo, when you fielded that ball in the hole, did you hesitate? Did you wait for the runner to get on me before you threw the ball? Now who's talking crazy? Vic said. He wasn't smiling. Not much of an answer. Who put that thought in your head? Blanco? I bet it was Blanco, that miserable prick. Was it Julio? Not much of an answer. Yeah, Jesse, you said that. I can keep saying it. Your choice. Vic finished his drink and poured himself another. You want the truth? It'd be nice for a change. You don't hear a lot of truth in my line of work. Truth is, Jesse, I don't know if I hesitated or not. If I did, it wasn't because I was trying to get you hurt. It was more likely that I was admiring the fact that I got to the ball at all on that shitty infield. Did I want Kayla? You bet your ass. Every straight guy with a pulse in Albuquerque wanted her. But even if I was the most calculating bastard on earth, how could I know that a takeout slide would ruin your career? In all the years I played ball, I've seen plenty of guys get hurt making the pivot and relay throw to first on a double play. I saw guys get wiped out twice as bad as you. I seen guys land on their heads, get spiked, get their ACLs and MCLs ripped up, but I never saw a guy land on his shoulder and get ruined the way you got ruined. Not before, not since. Jesse just nodded. What else was there for him to do? How are you and Dee doing? Vic said, happy to change the subject. You two seem to hit it off. So far, so good. How did you guys meet her? Vic tilted his head in surprise. She hasn't told you? We've been too busy with other things. I just bet you have. God, is she not gorgeous? How'd you meet? You are a persistent bastard. She moved into our gated community in Scottsdale about a year ago. Kayla and her hit it off immediately, but I think she spends more time with me. She's a tennis nut and can shoot. That made Jesse sit up a little straighter. She shoots? Like an assassin. You should see her with a sidearm, any sidearm. I'm good. She's great. Good thing I'm better at tennis. She tell you her story? Jesse said. Poor little rich girl, inherited some money, I think. Something like that. Jesse hoped Vic might shed a little more light on the subject, but he didn't seem so inclined. He poured them both a little more scotch. Neither bothered to lift their glasses to the other. They were way past that. 20 years past. Jesse stood, sat on the railing to face Vic. Prado didn't know it yet, but their conversation was about to move away from the personal to the professional. Today, when you came to the station, Jesse said, why did you disrespect Officer Crane like you did by barging into my office? Officer Crane's pretty hot for a woman her age. She'll be thrilled to hear it, but I wanted to surprise you, Vic said. Nothing more than that. Please send her my apologies. Funny you should say the word surprise. How's that? Because it seemed to Molly, Officer Crane, and me, that I was the least surprised person in the room. I'm not getting you, Jesse. Is there something I'm missing here? Did you know the man who was in the office with me when you came in? No. Should I have? Who is he? He's a lawyer named Monty Bernstein. Vic laughed. There's a name for you. Sorry, never met him. How about the older gentleman you passed on your way into the station? The nasty-looking guy with the pipe clenched in his teeth? Jesse nodded. Nope, Vic said. Sorry, who's he, another lawyer? Bernstein's client. A rich guy from an old local family named Harlan Salter IV. Don't know him. I hope the first three Harlan Salters were cheerier than number four. Probably not. I don't think cheery is in their DNA sequence. But he's got good reason to be miserable. His son's girlfriend was murdered recently, and his son abducted. The kid was released, but he's in the hospital. That's rough. Will the kid be okay? You're a cop long enough, Vic. You learned that okay is a relative term. He'll recover from his injuries. Whether he'll get over the guilt about his girlfriend and the trauma of being held captive is something else. Prado shrugged. He's young yet. He'll have time to heal. So you're sure you don't know either Bernstein or Salter? Look, Jesse, I'm famous. I'm not complaining. Fame certainly has its perks. It opens up all kinds of doors, if you know what I mean. Fame is like a drug to people who don't have it. Fame makes you more charming, better looking, wiser. Men want to be your friend. They want to buy you drinks and dinners. They want to give you stock tips and take you golfing.
Women, they just want you. But it's also weird. People recognize me all the time, or think they might recognize me. They can act strange when it happens. I'm pretty used to it. So, why the third degree? Would it matter if I knew those guys? Guess not, just curious. They drank some more, so much so that the air on the deck smelled of stale breath and scotch. They were slurring their words now, no longer finishing their sentences. As they got drunker, their silences got less uncomfortable. Jesse was looking out at the water. It wasn't Dodger Stadium, he thought, but it was pretty damn good. You know, Vic, I never got to ask you what that reunion was really for. Vic didn't answer. Jesse waited, then asked again. Vic still didn't answer. When Jesse turned around, Vic Prado was passed out in his chair.